about how we can open the door to satanic activity in our life and some of the ways that we can do that. We're going to get into another door tonight. I told you we were going to go into door number two, which was abuse. But last week we talked a little bit about generational iniquity. And I wonder if anybody put any thought this week to maybe what your generational sins are or what they have been and how maybe it's affected you from your mother and father and maybe even into your children or your grandchildren. But here's the deal, folks. There's hope. Amen. We don't have to fall under captivity of those iniquities that the devil thinks and lies to us and tell us that we are victims. We're not victims. We're what? Victors. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Well, you know, the Bible teaches we wrestle not against what, church? Flesh and blood. The devil loves to lie to us and tell us that people are our enemy, doesn't he? You know, if you ask me how many enemies you got, I could start naming them. But the truth is, how many we got? One. It's the devil, amen? But the truth is, that is a defeated foe, amen? Let's pray tonight, and we'll get into door number two. And just a little warning, I know there's no little kids left in here. There's one right here, but he's about to fall asleep. But we are going to get into some pretty sensitive stuff tonight. So if you're not comfortable with your son or daughter going into some of this stuff, I would encourage you to let them listen, because the reality is the devil is real, and the devil uses what we're going to talk about tonight. Although it's a very uncomfortable subject, I'll be honest, I was struggling with how to present it, because I've never presented it to a church before. I presented it in a lot of counseling sessions and one-on-one. But I think it's important if we as a church understand some of the devil's tactics and how real he really is in some of these areas. And folks, if you'll just let the Lord have his way again and just ignore the lies of the devil tonight, okay? It's going to be a little sensitive, I'm telling you, but it's going to be all right. And listen, here's another thing. If you're involved in this door and this is a door that you've opened in your life due to something that happened to you years ago that wasn't your fault, an unfortunate event, but here's the reality is it happens to a lot of people. But folks, we still got to learn to forgive, amen? Because forgiveness, it's not for them, it's for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and we'll get started. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you so much for dying on the cross for us, shedding your blood for our sins. Lord, we're so undeserving. Lord, I ask you now to cover this place, Lord, with your blood. A touchy subject tonight, Lord, that I was nervous to teach about and to, Lord, even touch on in the midst of so many people, because no doubt, Lord, in a crowd like this, I'm certain, Lord, that somebody here has experienced this. I don't know that, but Lord, I pray, God, if they have, especially if they haven't found victory, Lord, I pray that they'll understand the importance that they're not alone, number one, and number two, God, they don't have to live in sin and bondage anymore. They can be made free. Thy word is truth, O Lord, and Lord, we know thy word makes us free, and we're so thankful for that. Now, Lord, just bind the devil off this place tonight. Bind him off the hearts and minds of your people. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that don't know you, I pray, God, that you'll open up their minds. And Lord, speak to their spirit with your spirit tonight. Lord, convict them unto salvation that only you can do. Lord, cleanse me of sin now. Empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit tonight and allow me to get this across to your people how you want them to hear. Lord, let them hear from you. Lord, thank you that it's not about the messenger, but about the message, Lord. Thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we talked about generational iniquity last week, and this generational iniquity thing will tie in a little bit with this one. But tonight we're going to go into abuse. Door number two is abuse. Door number one was what? What was it last week? What was door number one? Generational iniquity. Good. Door number two is what? Abuse. Now, There's many different kinds of abuse, okay? But we're going to deal with some touchy ones. And again, I warned you, so you've had your warning. Please don't be upset at me. I'm not trying to point fingers at anybody. I understand this is going to be sensitive for some people. I'm just warning you one more time. It could be a very sensitive subject. So tonight we're going to talk about a few different kinds of abuse. But number one, I want to talk about a very real abuse that happens all across our homes in America, and I'm sure you can come up with it in your own mind, it's sexual abuse. It's a very real thing across our country. You know, people are making money by preying on little children in our country. Everybody know that? And listen, not only that, it gets worse. Little children, where they should be felt, where they should be comfortable at homes, in their own homes with their moms and their dads and their brothers and their sisters and their aunts and their uncles, around people that they should feel safe in the presence of, are being taken captive to this thing called sexual abuse. Folks, the devil does not play favorites when it comes to this. He would love for your child or your sister, your brother. He would love for anybody to fall captive to this, because let me tell you something. When this happens to an individual, the devil immediately starts playing tricks on the mind. Amen? He can't attack our spirit, right? If we're saved, is that true? Because he don't own that. But our soul is our mind, our emotion, and what? And listen, someone that this has happened to, it may be you. You may be already like, man, he's talking to me. Listen, the devil is going to lie to you and tell you that you're not good enough, that you're filthy, that you're unworthy, that you just, if God loved you, that would have never happened to you. If your mom and dad loved you, they wouldn't have done that. Listen, folks, all those are lies from our enemy. Who's our enemy? The devil. Just listen to some of these statistics and we'll get going. We are living in a day, and again, this was 20 years ago when this author printed this book, maybe even more than that. We're living in a day when it has been documented. Now, this is a survey that was done that 6 out of every 10 girls will be sexually violated by the age of 18. And 3 out of 10 boys will be sexually violated by the same age. The offender will often, now hear me out, be their dad, their brother, their uncle, their grandfather, their neighbor, or someone close to the family. I didn't say always, but often it's someone that the individual should be able to trust. Amen? Needless to say, damaging scars are left in their emotions, and if not dealt with, they will come back to torment their victims. When people are crippled by sexual abuse, their entire being is crippled until they receive help. The most destructive form of child abuse is not physical abuse, but sexual abuse. The greatest form of destructive sexual abuse is in the kind that has a religious dimension to it. And again, all real cases here. The offense can be by a pastor. You know, I know stories right now of former good pastors that stood in pulpits of thousands of people and have been accused and been proven guilty of this very sin. Preachers would take in young ladies and would begin to counsel them one-on-one without some accountability, right? I told you before, I don't counsel wives, grandmas, aunts. I don't do that alone. I'm not going to counsel your daughter ever. I have a wife for that reason. You know, I believe that's a big reason why a stipulation for a pastor is to have a wife. Amen? Because here's the thing, ladies, I can preach to you what God's given me, but I'll never be able to help you be a better woman. You know why? Because God did not make me a woman. Everybody okay with that? But here's the deal. I have a wife that if she's living in submission to God, who will be able to help you ladies, and you'll be able to minister to her. Likewise, me, I'll be able to minister to the men, and you guys can minister to me. And that's how God worked this thing out. Amen? But here's the deal. This often happens by pastors, youth directors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, bus captains, song leaders. The predator claims Christ publicly, but at home, he or she is abusive. This is one of the greatest doors of abuse that is leading thousands of young people to the pit of no hope in their emotions. I believe that one of the most vicious demons that have been turned loose in our day is the demon of sexual abuse. Now, let me just ask you, and you can raise your hand. How many of you know someone that has fallen to this before? Just raise your hands. If you know someone that's been sexually abused. Okay, you don't have to cut. I mean, you're thinking about it right now, but let me ask you this. I'm not going to get that personal. Imagine putting yourself in their shoes, especially if you know the details of the story. Imagine, let me just lay this out here for you. Imagine a young man coming to you and saying this, Brother Drew, I got something I really need to talk to you about. And it's very personal. And I haven't even told my mom and dad yet. And I say, what is it, bud? He says, Brother Drew, you can't tell nobody. He said, at home, I've been being abused sexually by my older brother. Now imagine, this little boy is 7 years old. And here's what happens. Often, the one will come that's been abused and will admit that something has happened. And here's what happens 9 times out of 10 in the home when the parents get addressed about it. The older sibling that's the accused will get approached, often lie, and say, no, why would I do something like that? You guys with me? And more often than not, the parents are going to believe the older sibling that has clearly harmed the younger sibling. And then Now, I'm telling you a real story. I'm not using names here. I'll never use names, but this is a real event that happened. And then 4 or 5 years later, that same used-to-be 7-year-old boy has a little brother that comes in and says, "Brother Drew, you're not going to believe I have to tell you something. My older brother is sexually abusing me." The same brother that was being sexually abused in his home by another older brother. Are you guys listening to me? This is very real. Parents, listen up. If your children ever come to you with something like this, first of all, don't blow them off. Don't look at it. And this is why we often blow it off, because when you say, "Well, who did it?" It's literally 90% of the time it's someone that you know and love, and that they should be able to trust. And when they say, "Well, he did it," and you're like, "Well, there's no way your uncle so-and-so would ever do a thing like that." Folks, why would your babies lie about that stuff? Why shouldn't our children be able to come to us in confidence and say, "Hey, someone's bothering me. Someone's hurting me. They know that's not right. That's not normal. And the best thing they could ever do is speak up. The worst thing they could ever do is keep it buried deep." Because guess what happens? Little lions become big lions, and big lions always kill. Folks, it's going to come back out one way or another later on. It's going to come out in a root of bitterness. You know how I told you bitterness is a side effect? Well, you look around, young people, you find one that's been abused sexually and they told somebody and they didn't believe them, and now they're burying this thing. And later in life, they're angry, they're bitter. Often, here's what happens with females very often, or males. If it was a dad or somebody very close that they should have been able to trust, they grow up, they hate men. They start shaping themselves to look like a man. Are you guys catching on to this? Folks, you wonder why these people do this stuff. It's because they're hurt. God didn't wire them to want to be like that. They're hurt. They're angry. They're bitter. And you think about it, they often form themselves to look and act like the person that hurt them the most. You guys hear me? This is very real. So this is one of the greatest doors of abuse that is leading to thousands of young people to the pit of no hope in their emotions. Remember, the devil's going to attack our what first? Our mind, which is going to affect our what? Emotions. And ultimately, here we are with a generation that can't decide if they're male or female. And we're smiling and laughing, but it's not funny. It's not God. Who is it? It's the devil behind all this stuff. And I guarantee you, if you were to sit down with those ladies or sit down with some of these men who we look at that, you know, we call them gays or transgenders, whatever, let me tell you something. There's a hurt behind every single one of them. I know some personally in Seward. He's not a friend that I hang out with, but he was a friend. He was on the fire department with me, and he was a gay guy. But let me tell you something. One of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life. And when you sit down and talk to him, I said, "Brother, tell me what sparked your interest in this stuff." He said, "Well, Brother Drew, I'll be honest with you. When I was young, my daddy sexually abused me." And he said, "And then he left me. Didn't ever said he was sorry. My mom ended up falling in love with a woman, got married to a woman. He was raised by two women. And now he kind of talks like a girl." You guys know what I'm talking about, right? But see, we look at this stuff and we're just like, "Well, if he blah, blah, blah." No. That's a side effect. Once again, that's all a side effect. God never designed or wired anybody to be like that. They're not born that way. I don't care what the experts say. God said he created a male and female. And guess what? A man that findeth a wife findeth a what, church? Good thing. Amen? It didn't say a man that findeth a husband. Never said that. And it didn't say a woman that findeth a wife. God is against that. He always has been. He calls that an abomination. Find another sin in the Bible where he destroyed a whole nation. Two of them, actually. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? The whole nation was destroyed because of that sin. God is not for that stuff. Those people were not born like that. There's a hurt behind every person like that. I believe that one of the most vicious demons that have been turned loose in the day is the demon of sexual abuse. Young victims, listen to this, often submit to this kind of abuse for several reasons. You think, why would they submit to their abuser? You ever known a woman that's abused by her husband? You guys ever known anybody like that? A woman that's maybe she's been beat up or her husband's really angry and yells at her and screams at her and she just keeps going back to him and keeps going back to him and keeps going back to him and keeps going back to him. Why would they keep going back to those people like that? Well, how about this? They don't want to make trouble for the person who violated them. You know, oftentimes, like I said, you love these people. You know, when I grew up, my daddy, he was an alcoholic, and he wasn't around very much, and my mom, she wasn't around very much. But here's the deal. I always, in my heart, as a little boy, I longed for a relationship with my mom and my dad. But if I were to look back and someone were to say, "Where's your greatest hurt?" I would say, my greatest hurt comes from rejection because I grew up without my mom and I grew up without my dad. Now, I had great grandparents, but did it take away from the fact that I wanted that relationship with my mom and my dad? But here's the deal, folks. I didn't get it. And I had two choices in life. Forgive and move on. Now, I'm not saying get over it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not being harsh. I'm saying forgiveness or choose to be angry and bitter and upset. Here's something a preacher told me a long time ago that stuck with me. Great expectations always results in low gratefulness. Preacher told me one time, he said, "Drew, here's what you need to do with your mom and dad. You take what you get and you appreciate every second of it. If you get 5 minutes to spend with your dad, make the most out of that 5 minutes. If you get a few minutes to spend with your mom, make the most out of that few minutes and appreciate it." You guys with me? Now, it still hurt. Because in my mind as a little boy, the devil's saying, "Well, if your mom and dad really loved you, they wouldn't have got divorced. They wouldn't tell you they're going to do something and then just not do it. Who wants to be lied to by their parents?" Folks, you know there's people all around us, probably sitting right here in this building under the sound of my voice right now, that experience this very thing. Folks, the devil's real. But why do we fall captive? Well, we don't want to make trouble for them. They were warned by the victimizer that no one will believe them. I can tell you countless stories of young girls and young boys that have been violated, and then, I mean, just one in my recent memory, and they'll say, "Well, I never told anybody because they said if I told, they'd kill my family, or they'd kill me, and I'd be in danger if I ever told." Folks, guess what? Who's telling that lie? Who is that? That's the devil. Or maybe they were threatened by the victimizer. They were afraid that their mother would leave their dad, or that the victimizer would go to prison. I've heard that before. "Well, I don't want him or her to go to prison because, I mean, there's other families involved and other kids involved and people that I love are going to hurt because of that." Folks, it's very real. They were embarrassed by what their friends might think of them. They felt like there was no one to turn to. Folks, can I say as a church in Red Level, Alabama, that we ought to be a people like we talked about on Sunday. People in this community ought to see a member here, whether it's in this church or out there at Dollar General or at the football stadium, wherever. They ought to know if they got a problem that we're people that will listen. And we're people that will not just listen, but you know, the Bible teaches us to always be ready to give an answer. Folks, listen to their problems and say, "Look, let me pray about this. Let me take the Word of God and show you how you can get some freedom from your bondage." I've heard it said over and over again by preachers, "Get over it. Go on with life." You know, the writer says he understands this statement to some degree, but lose sensitivity to the emotional wounds of others. I've dealt with people who were physically abused beyond imaginations. Parents have hurt their children, and now these children are 50 years old, living with overwhelming feelings of bitterness. These destructive emotions have destroyed their marriages and defiled every relationship they have ever been. And you think about this. Say, "How could that possibly affect my marriage?" Well, let me ask you this. We'll talk to the ladies first. If you're a young girl and an older man, whether it may be a dad, uncle, grandpa, somebody you didn't even know, just a man, sexually abuses you for no reason. I mean, there's never a reason for that. Just abuses you, treats you like you should never be treated. You never say anything about it. You hold that deep in your heart. You never tell anybody. You grow up and really and truly you're angry at men now because that man hurt you. One man hurt you, and then all of a sudden you get married and you have an argument and your husband raises his voice, and all of a sudden, who do you think the devil's going to remind you of when your husband raises his voice in that argument? See, all men are the same. You guys hear me? And all of a sudden you're like, you know what? They are all the same. If he loved me, he wouldn't raise my voice. If he knew what happened to me when I was a little girl, he would never raise his voice to me like that. Hey, let me flip the script a little bit. How about a young man who's been abused by a mother? That happens too. Folks, and then they get in their marriage, and all they can think about every time a fight stirs up or a voice is raised or maybe something they say triggers an emotion, and the devil says, don't that remind you of the person that hurt you? Didn't I tell you all women were the same? Folks, who's behind that lie? But is that a real lie that's told every day in our homes in America? It is. And you know what the devil wants? He wants divorce. He wants hurt, bitter, angry kids. He's trying to steal them from you. Sexual abuse is a very real thing. But what about verbal abuse? Forgive my voice. What about verbal abuse? One of the most damaging types of abuse, not only sexual abuse, but verbal abuse. Words from parents go deep into the emotions of their children. When we were called names and put down, we could come back with, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will what? Never hurt me, folks. How many know that's a lie? Anybody ever said anything? How many's had something negative said to them before that really affected you? Amen. And it just made you feel really good about that person, right? You just wanted to spread love to them and just go buy them flowers and bake them a cake. And no, you got mad and you got angry. And folks, listen, but as bad as those words hurt you, let's ask this question. How many have ever used words to hurt someone? We won't raise our hands on that. I'll raise my hand. I've done it many times. And I'll be honest with you, if there's something I struggle with often, it's my tongue. And you know, the Bible calls that thing a deadly poison. It's bad. Out of the same mouth, proceeds blessing and cursing. But that ought not be so. But be careful what you say, especially to your children. It's easier to be healed physically from some type of physical damage than to be healed from powerful words that cause negative effects on the mind and emotions of young children. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18:21. And while you're finding that, find James chapter 3. James chapter number 3. Hebrews, James. Proverbs 18:21. The Bible says, death and what, church? Life are in the power of the what? Tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now flip over to James chapter number 3. Just showing you, God has a lot to say about our tongue. Let this verse sink deep inside your hearts. We must realize that our tongues can literally become the assistant to the enemy in destroying the life of another person. Now, before we read these, I wonder how many of you would say, I would love to be the reason that someone's life was destroyed. I don't know about you folks, but I do not want to be the reason that somebody walks away from the Lord. I don't want my tongue to overrule something within me. You know, the Bible teaches to be swift to what? Hear, and slow to what? Often very quick to what? And very often very, very slow to think about what we're about to say. Because really and truly, if you think about it, how many's ever said something and it felt really good right then? But I mean, I'm the kind of guy, again, I don't like not to be liked. I've told you that before. And if I upset somebody and I know it, you can bet I'm coming to find you, because I just, even if you're not upset, if I think, oh man, I really shouldn't have said that, I really shouldn't have did that, I'm going to come find you and make sure you know that I am sorry. And if I don't, come to me, please. But here's the deal. You say something and it feels really good, and then just a few minutes later, as soon as the person's out of sight, you're just like, anyone ever had that happen before? You know, it felt good. Your pride came up, and pride goeth before what, church? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before what? A fall. Well, that's how the devil works. He'll make it look like, go tell him off, tell him off, tell him off. Now's your chance. And you do it, and it feels so good. Finally got to tell him. And then it's all good until they get out of sight. And then one of your family members say, how did that feel to tell them what you told them? What's even worse is when one of your kids come up and say,
Dad, did you mean what you said to them? And I'm like, yes. No, I didn't mean that. And, you know, of course, the Spirit of God's like, well, now you have to go back to them. And, you know, words do hurt. And apologize and ask for them to forgive you so that they're not bitter and angry at you. So look at James chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 12. The Bible says, my brethren, not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a what, church? You want to know how to be a perfect man? Don't ever offend anyone with your words. I wonder how many of us are perfect men and women. Not me. Not the preacher. And able also to bridle the whole body. In other words, God's saying, if you can keep that tongue bridled, you can keep the rest of your body intact. Isn't that crazy to think about? Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may what? Obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which, though they be so great, are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about at a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a what, church? Little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a what? A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man what? It is an unruly evil, full of deadly what? Poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and what? Cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. I like this analogy. If we were to get an apple in here and we were to squeeze that thing as hard as we can, what are we going to get out of that? Apple what? Juice. Well, if we squeeze a lemon, what are we going to get? What if we squeeze a Christian? What should we be getting? Jesus juice. How about that? That's pretty cool. I stole that from my father-in-law. I hope he's listening right. He's probably saying, that guy stole that too. I steal a lot of stuff from him. I love him. But Jesus juice, that's what should happen when the world sees and squeezes us so hard that we, instead of getting mad and angry, Jesus should just pour out of us. But it's not often the case. We can speak words that leave many helpless in the enemy's grip. I've heard preachers, school teachers, youth directors who speak publicly using the name of certain young people, exposing them in their services or youth group, calling them stupid or crazy or rebels or geeks. Well, what's wrong with us? Are we so insensitive that we don't understand that our own sons and daughters could be rebels? You ever think about that? It's so easy to point out an individual in our community who's struggling and who's bad, and it's really easy to point out other bad children, but just a moment in the twinkling of an eye, it could be your child being talked about. It could be your child walking on the streets of Montgomery looking for their next high. Did you know that? Folks, you're not exempt from that. Nobody is. That's why we got to identify our enemy. Who's our enemy? It's Satan, and we got to go to war for our children. It's very important. When critical, destructive, and damaging words come from those in positions of spiritual authority, they carry on enormous amounts of weight and can become a yoke of bondage to the hearers. I want to encourage you to stand before people and lead and teach and minister to them to be a good steward of your words. Ask the Lord to put a watch before your mouth. Know your words should be words that heal, reconcile, and point folks to Christ. Through the years, parents have said things they do not realize would wound their children, such as, why aren't you as smart as your brother or sister? You ever think about this? I mean, how many's got siblings in here? Anybody ever been asked that question? Why can't you be more like that one? Listen, what are you thinking when you ask that question? Now, I have six kids, and I'll be honest, I've thought that a lot.
Because sometimes you're like, haven't you been paying attention to your older sister or your older brother and what happens when you do this stuff? Why can't you just be like this one who never gets in trouble? They're all probably thinking of the same person right now. Funny. But look, who are we to judge our... Did you know the Bible teaches that each and every one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made? Now, I have 6 kids, 4 boys, 2 girls, and 1 in heaven. So 7 kids. But here's what I know about them all. They're all different in a lot of ways. I mean, that's a lot of kids, and you'd think, there's that many differences? Oh, yeah, they're different in a whole bunch of ways. I get people ask me all the time, you need to let me carry your kids deer hunting. I'm like, well, only a couple of them are even going to be interested in that. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, they don't. I mean, I got a couple that would be like all over that. But most of them, I mean, I asked one of them recently. I said, hey, you want to go hunting? He's like, why don't you take one that would actually enjoy that? And I'm like, right. Put me in my spot again. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But look, I as a dad, I'm thinking to myself, like, you don't like that? But folks, look, is that a bad thing that he doesn't like that? No, and it might hurt a little bit as a dad. Well, this is it, man. Like, no. I remember growing up, and there were plenty of things that I liked to do that my grandpa wasn't so interested in, but you know what he chose to do? He chose to spend time with me and learn to bond with me in the things that I enjoyed. But likewise, he showed me some of the things that he enjoyed. Like, one of my favorite things he taught me was how to butcher deer meat. I love cutting meat. I enjoyed it. I spent a lot of hours out there when I was a little kid. And you think, well, that ain't very fun. Well, it was to me. It was a good bonding time with my grandfather. And today we're doing it. It's been fun the last couple of days. I've gotten to spend some time with Colton and Kyler in there to try to teach them the ways and make them a little bit of money. Amen. It's just good. But all of them are different. And we should never say things. Why aren't you as smart as your brother? How about this one? You're just stupid. How many has ever thought that about your kids before? We've thought it. Because sometimes kids do crazy things, or you're just an idiot. You'll never amount to anything. Folks, listen. What are you thinking when you say that to your children? That is the wrong thing to say. Imagine if your parents said that to you. You'll never amount to anything. How are you going to feel? Then you come in the door. What's wrong? Well, kids called me stupid at school today. They said I was dumb. They said I was horrible at this. Can I tell you something? You tell them who you want them to become. Speak to them positive things. Always look for words of encouragement. Well, how about this one? I can't tell you how many young men I've sat and dealt with that came to me and said, Brother Drew, I just feel like I was a mistake. I said, Brother, God's the giver and taker of life. Well, if you ask my parents, they'll tell you I was an accident. There's no such thing as an accident. God fearfully and wonderfully made each and every one of you boys and girls, men and women. There is no accident. He's the giver and taker of life. You're here for a reason. People say this to these children. Your mother and I never really even wanted another kid. How about that one? Folks, you say, who would say that? A lot of people. A lot of people. You look around at your generation. You know what it is? We want to look at and say, how bad are these kids? Well, you know what they are? They're forgotten. Given devices that parent them from ages 2 and 3 years old. They don't have, hang on, babe, after church. They're given devices and they're just forgotten about. They're ignored. And they're proving exactly what they told them. But here's the thing. That's not real. That's not true. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. There's not a single man, woman, boy, or girl sitting here by mistake. The devil will lie to you and tell you you're a mistake. But let me tell you something. The devil's destination is hell. And he's going to be the very last one cast into that eternal lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And folks, look, we got heaven to look forward to. Don't let the devil lie to you. How about this lie? You're ugly. Again, the Bible says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And the last time I checked, God don't make mistakes. Now, many of you are like, well, I look in the mirror every day and prove that, right? We're just proving the Bible to be true. Okay. All of these phrases can open a door and hold a person's emotions hostage to demonic activity. Don't ever forget, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's in Proverbs 23:7. Do not speak words that may become self-fulfilling prophecy in another person's life. I say it all the time. Speak to them who you want them to be. One of the greatest pieces of advice I got when I was going through the process of praying about this church and becoming your pastor, a lot of pastors called me, a lot of the same ones that were sitting on my ordination called me and said, Brother Drew, if they vote you in, here's what you got to do from day one. Speak positive words of affirmation to every single one of your members. You preach and teach them, tell them who they are. Always lift them up, encourage them in everything that they do, from the littlest thing to the biggest thing. Always speak words of affirmation. And I'm telling you, these are preachers that have made it. These are preachers that weren't in there 2 or 3 years. Things got a little rough and they hit the road to the next church. Folks, I'll tell you, I'm here to die. God brought me here. I'm here to die or that's it, or retire. That's it. That's what I want to do. I want to die being your pastor. That's my plan. Throughout the Bible, we find accounts where words were used to do serious damage to individuals and even whole armies. In the case found in 1 Samuel 17, we see the giant of Gath named Goliath is able to hold the entire army of Israel in fear just by his negative, threatening words. You remember the story. Not one spear was cast, not one arrow launched at him, not one sword was drawn, but the entire army of Israel was standing in defeat for 40 days and nights. Goliath came down to the valley and spoke his negative words. David, a young teenage boy, came to the rescue. He had not heard these negative words of the Philistine giant. With great confidence in the name of the Lord God Jehovah, he conquered the giant with one stone. In counseling on many occasions, adults were held defeated by their parents' words. In one particular case, the writer says a man relayed his insecurities he received from the negative words of his father. His father is a Christian, and so is the man, but he lives with the fear of being a failure. Today, he has been set free from 30 years of words such as, you will never amount to anything, you're a loser, and you can never do anything right. But here's what you got to remember. The father was just a tool of the enemy. The father was not the enemy. Amen? This young man had to learn to forgive his dad. After claiming the steps to freedom, he realized the real truth was he had been fearfully and wonderfully made. He has been able to walk now in freedom and forgiveness. This man's son, here it is, also had to receive freedom because the man spoke to him the same words his father spoke to him. That's just like door number one, which was what? Generational iniquity. See, his dad did it to him. And so he's like, well, I guess this is how you're supposed to father. So I'm going to do that to my son. And hey, I'll tell you, this is a scary thing. I often look and I find a lot of my grandmother in the way I parent. And sometimes it's scary, real scary, because she was a scary lady. Some of you might not know her, but I'm telling you right now, those of you who do, she was a scary woman. I'm telling you, when she whipped, and I don't whip like this because I'd probably go to jail today, but she didn't. It wasn't easy. It was peach trees, hickory trees. I'm talking about it started out 6-7 foot long, and when the thing was down to a stub, she was done. I'm talking about blood flies. Oh, I'm telling you the truth. But she all, amen. But here's the thing. Here's where I think, if I were to look back, am I thankful for those spankings? Yes, but here's what I have learned that I will never do. Spank my children in anger if I can help it. I don't think it's wise to ever discipline your children angry. Because here's the deal. You're not there to hurt them. You're just not. Now, you want them to understand that you're reaping what you're sowing. Amen? But if you're verbally abusing them while you're... See, that's one of the things that happened to me. My grandmother was a screamer. I remember one time, we lived 0.7 mile away from my great-grandmother. She lived up the dirt road 0.7 mile. And one morning, I got in trouble, and it was awful. I mean, it was bad. She always whipped in the yard, too, because the house apparently wasn't big enough, or I couldn't run far enough or something. I don't know. But we got out in the yard, and she started screaming and started whipping me. And I remember thinking, I gotta get out of here. And she was done. She went back inside, and I decided I was going to walk to my great-grandma's. And I come walking up her driveway, and she's rocking in her rocking chair. Before I could get on her doorstep, she said, son, what did you do? I'm like, you heard that? She's like, I heard it all. She's like, what did you do? I'm like, I don't know. But look, that's what I'm saying. But folks, that's not the right way to do it. You should never discipline in anger. That's the wrong way to do it. If you want to lose your children, Discipline them in anger. Bad idea. We're almost done. Again, it is the sole area where the enemy attacks and does his damage. Many people do not even realize that they are saying things that might leave the listener with fears of failure and insecurities. God's word is clear that when we speak one to another, our speech should be seasoned with grace. Our words should be words that minister and edify one another, especially when dealing with our children or those under our authority. Almost there. In 1 Samuel 17, David went down to meet to face Goliath. The scripture tells us in 1 Samuel 17:40 that he took five smooth stones. He only used one. Why did he take five stones? Well, he took five stones because Goliath had four brothers. When David was young, he could have conquered all five giants, but David killed Goliath and did not kill the other four. Later on in 2 Samuel 21 and 1 Chronicles 20, David faced the other four giants. Because of his age, he was unable to conquer them without help from the other people. Remember, giants that are not conquered today will come back to haunt us another day. We cannot let giants from the past be left unconquered. They will come back on a day we are emotionally and spiritually weak and try to destroy us. Sons and daughters will always receive greater damage when hearing negative words from their parents or those in authority. A coach's wrong words can be used and nearly cripple a young person from ever reaching his potential or her potential. A school teacher or a pastor can say words that bring great devastation in the life of another person under their authority. The enemy will say to that person, "These are your authority speaking these things to you." What they say must be true. You see how the devil manipulates? Isn't he such a liar? Can we as believers and born-again Christians speak words that the enemy can use to literally take another person into captivity? The answer is yes. Absolutely. The majority of the time, we are not aware of it. If you have a door open in your life or you've been abused, then do not leave that door open anymore. Listen, folks, heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. Miss Barbara, you want to come to the piano just for a moment? I want to encourage you tonight. If I didn't do an invitation last week, I probably should have. These doors are very real, first of all. That door of generational iniquity, very real door. This door of abuse is a very real door. And, you know, maybe, you know, oftentimes I've seen this stuff taught, and this come out to be maybe not, you're not the abused, but you're the abuser. And folks, listen, as she begins to play tonight, I wonder how many of you would be honest and say, "Brother Drew, these two doors that you've covered so far the last couple of weeks, this generational iniquity and this abuse door that you've talked about, it's pretty personal to me." No one looking around. Just listen. Be honest.